Because when Christ comes to reign, It's the beginning of Him bringing things back as it should be, as God created in the days when He made mankind, 6,000 years ago. Alright, roughly from our time now, 6,000 years ago, when He made Adam and Eve. Alright, so He's, mankind will be regenerated back to that state. But that is not truly the Edenic state or condition. But the new heaven, new earth will be. The regeneration is a process to bring it back, to repair, to redo, to recreate, to bring everything back to its original condition. Alright? You understand? So, this is the period where you see Isaiah could say, "Behold, I create new heaven and new earth." It's the starting point. Then when this earth, later on, when it's burned out, then everything will become new again. The atmosphere, the heavens will become new because pollution will be gone. Alright? When Christ comes to reign, remember this age of regeneration was still, there will still be pollution in the air. It takes, you know, a period of 1,000 years to bring everything back to a lesser condition. There will still be planes, there will still be cars on this earth in the millennium. Do you understand? Okay, only that there will be rules and laws coming out of Jerusalem to control all these things. Do you see that? And that's why it will never be a perfect Edenic state. So the only way it will be is when the earth is burnt out at the end of it. When God set up the great white throne, the earth will be burnt out. And when everything is burnt out, the houses are gone. The cars are gone. Alright? The planes are gone. Everything that is man-made will be gone. Then the earth will be as it was in the days of Adam and Eve. Can you imagine that? Do you understand that? Okay. Let us look at all these various verses here. Let's start with Matthew chapter 19. Alright? I want to read all this. You refresh your mind as to what all these various passages, apostles, and Proverbs talks about as to the age of the regeneration. Matthew 19, verse 28. Alright. Here he said, Jesus was talking to his disciples. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You that follow me, in the regeneration," that means in this age of regeneration, 1,000 years, when Christ come back and sit upon the throne of His glory, that is upon the throne of King David. And then the disciple will sit with Him, and judge Israel, and rule with Him, that is in the regeneration. Alright, now let's go to the next verse, Isaiah chapter 11. Alright, Isaiah chapter 11, and we have verse 6 to 9. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the horn of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Alright, this is everybody knows what's going to happen. Just read and you just imagine. Okay, let us go to the next verse. 65, chapter 65 of Isaiah is the second last chapter of the book. And reading from verse 17 to 25. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and the people of joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. You know what happened to Israel today, right? There's a lot of tension, a lot of suffering that they go through. There's a lot of still strife between them and the Arab and the Hamas and all those extremists. There shall be no more pains and infant of days, nor an old man that have not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the trees are the days of my people, and my heart and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And now, the millennium, the age of regeneration, is 1,000 years. So if anybody should die young at the age of 100, he's like a child. That's what he's saying. But there will be no more death, alright, unless you are a rebellious person and refuse to comply to the law of Christ, your life will just be snapped up. Because Christ, the Bible says, he will rule with the rod of iron. You know what a rod of iron means? Not a cane. A cane, when he hits you on the head, you won't die. But a rod of iron, when he hits you on the head, you die. As simple as that. You get the point? Okay, that's why he ruled with all. It means he's very strict. Get a point of that? That's why he's called the trap of, the lion of the trap of Judah. And the lion is a king, and the lion is strict. That's why Richard is called the lion-hearted. King Richard of England is called the lion-hearted king. He's strict. I mean, if we're not strict with the word of God, you know what? We're wishy-washy, then there's another problem. And I have complained from someone just recently. Then I'm not strict with you as I was strict with you many with them, or with the church years ago. You know, I was strict with you preaching the truth and telling you how to dress right and do the right thing and stop cutting your hair and being a vain and things like that. You know what I did? Not very long ago. Isn't it so? I now complain that I'm being too strict with the church too. So, one say I'm not strict enough, another say I'm too strict. So, what do I stand? Huh? I'm still in the middle. So I'm being pulled apart. When I tell you to come early, don't come late to church. I'm too strict. I complain. When I tell you, make sure, you know what? There are bottles that are left behind in this auditorium. I don't know. Please make sure that you before you leave, look at where you're sitting. Even tissue paper. I don't know where, maybe it's not you or it's somebody yesterday, if they have any program. But I don't think this hall is being used anymore by anybody. Hardly anybody used it. But make sure that you clean it. Alright? Got it? So I'm sweet. So just imagine this. Alright? In that day, of this 1,000 years, animals, wild ones, and tame ones that we see today, they don't get along, will get along. Right? And of course today, as we all know, many of you are scared of what, snakes? How many of you like to touch a snake? You probably don't want, because it feels cold and, you know, slimy and kind of strange feeling when you touch them. Right? Isn't it so? Huh? And some of you don't even want to touch a caterpillar, but you want to touch a butterfly. What a hypocrite you are. Because that's where the butterfly came from. It came from the caterpillar. Isn't it? And the same thing is that we all have this strange kind of a perception. When we look at two babies, one of them is more beautiful than the other, we go to the beautiful one. Am I not right? Yes or no? Yes. You see. But when we see a cockroach, we stamp on it. We kill it. But in that day of the regeneration, there'll be no killing. Huh? There'll be no killing. Everything will be lived by itself. Past or no past to you, they still all have a purpose. You understand? What about a worm? What do you think God created worm for? You probably, those who study biology would know. Am I not right? Yes, it served its purpose. What do you think about parasites? Like fungus, mold. What is the purpose of it? You say, oh, they are nuisance. Your food you left on the table for a few days and then it turns sour and it's moldy. What is the mold for? It's to break it down. Do you know that, don't you? Yes. I know a lot of people don't say, oh, this is a nuisance. What do you think the mosquito for? Bring dengue to you? Huh? But in that day, you won't have that dengue. They all have a purpose. All things have a purpose, only that you need to find out why. And what is the purpose of it? Alright. It goes on and says that they shall build houses and they inhabit. And they shall not build and another inhabit. Whatever they plant, they will eat. But today there's a lot of unfairness. We all know that. Huh? Okay? Alright. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Wonderful. You know, just look, think about this and you just love that. Go ahead, go to the next one. We have Revelation 20 verse 6. Just read all these verses to get a picture in your mind. Alright, 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay. Now we go to the next, Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. Now, when God, Christ comes to reign, there will still be offering for the children of Israel. The oblations and the sacrifices will be back for the children of Israel. That's why they have a millennium temple that will be set up. Okay? That will be known as the third temple. Okay? The first temple was the temple of Solomon. Okay? It was destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar came down and conquered them. Then later on, when they came back to Israel or to Jerusalem, they built a second temple. And that second temple, and is known to this day, I mean, of course no more there, is called the Temple of Herod. Herod's Temple. Okay, that was destroyed in the year 70 AD when Prince Titus came down to lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. And so they destroyed the temple to get at the gold because it was beautifully laid with gold. Even the stones were, between stones, they were actually gold also. So they break down every piece of all the stone, the wall and everything. And what is left today in Israel is the outer wall. Okay, of the city, not the temple. And that's called a Wailing Wall. Now, the third temple is the one that when Christ comes back, it will be built. And this temple will be huge. Far better than the one that Solomon had. Far better than the one, of course, in the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is the temple. So now they're talking about here the offering. Verse 18. And he said unto the Son of Man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give to the priest, the Levite, that be the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering, and they shall take of the blood thereof, and put it on the four horns of it, and on the four corners of the saddle, and upon the border round about, thus shall thou cleanse it and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary, and on the second day thou shalt offer the kid of the goat without blemish for the sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. And when thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer the young bullock without blemish, and the ram out of the flock without blemish. Why this offering? Is to make the children of Israel recall what Jesus had done And if you notice that we study here, in the first temple, or in the day when Moses set up the tabernacle, you have the Levite, the priest, and there is a high priest. What is his name? What's the name of the high priest? Aaron. Okay? The same thing that continued down in the day of Jesus, there is always a high priest there. And the high priest, of course, you can see like Caiaphas. Huh? Now, but in this third millennium, there will be priests still from the descendant of the lineage of Zadok, son of Aaron. But there will be no high priest. High priest will no longer be there. Because Christ himself is the tribunal of the high priest. He will sit in that temple. Alright? And he will be ministered to. So that's why all this would bring them to remember what goes back to the early Old Testament time to recollect the children of Israel. Remember, all those rituals were performed was a fulfillment, no feast. They were all fulfillment of Christ himself. Do you get it? Okay? For us, we don't, of course, we don't do this sacrifice, but this is only for the nation of Israel in that day. Alright? And thou, verse 24, thou shalt offer them before the Lord, before Christ will be there. Do you understand that? Okay, the minister unto him, and the priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for the burnt offering unto the Lord. Salt means the season. The season. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering, and they shall also prepare the bullock and the ram of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. And when this day expires, it shall be there upon the 8th day, so forward, the priest shall make their offering, burnt offering, upon the altar, and their peace offering, and I will accept you, said the Lord God. So that is God, Christ's relationship with the children of Israel. Alright? That temple will be set up. Alright, next go to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah is almost at the end of the Old Testament volume. Chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old man and old woman dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the street thereof. So there will be rejoicing. Children have no fear no more. People, everyone will live in peace. You understand that? When the Bible says here, says that there shall yet old men or old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. Now, don't mean that all of them will walk. You know what I mean? Huh? They're not going to walk with the, like, tonkat. You know what I call that? It doesn't mean that. It means everyone will have a staff. Instead, they will grow to an old age. You don't get it? Huh? Alright. Then we go to the next one over in chapter 14 and verse 16 to 19. 16 to 19, last chapter. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacle. Let's look at the next chart. I want to show you this in case you forget about the feast of Jehovah. Alright. This is the feast of Jehovah. And you know they are all together 7 feasts. Now, God wrote this Bible. You all know that, right? Got it? But then when God wrote this Bible, there are more than 40 authors. Okay? Written a span of about 2,000 years. 40 authors. And many of them don't know each other. But the Old Testament, we read about 7. In the New Testament, we read about 7. God loves number 7 because 7 is a perfect number. And that is the seal of God in the Bible, as God put the seal in nature. You all know that? How many colors in the rainbow? musical note, frequency of sound. How many chords? Do re mi fa sol la ti, do re mi fa sol la ti. 7. You all know that, don't you? You know, you should remember this 7 is very unique, huh? It's always a cycle. How many days in a week? 6 days you labor, 7 days you rest. And you start all over again. Yes? Right. So that is the 7. So now we have 7 feasts. Each of these feasts, it's called a feast of joy. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to Israel. Okay? But it was later on, in the day of Jesus Christ, because the Jew already went into their own tradition, the feast is no longer called the Feast of Joy. It's called the Feast of the Jew. Or the Feast of Israel. You understand? Just as today, the churches in the world, they're not the Church of God. You understand that? They're not the Church of God. Mankind, people have created their own, just as Jews have created their own religion. They become so traditionalized that God no longer calls it my feast, your feast. But this is God's feast. And what is God's feast? It's all about the Word. The keeping of the Word. Do you understand? That's what God is interested in. He wants you and me to eat His Word, to have feast in His Word. Not in tradition. Not in man-made ideas. Get the point? Okay? Because why? When the head of the family wants to have a gathering, they're always feasting. Correct? So he is the head of family who is the one that dictates what he wants. What food will be given out. And that's the why when God called us to his feast, or called Israel to his feast. And that is what we are doing. Come to the Word of God and feast with him. So these 7 feasts, all together, there are 7. Passover is over. Christ fulfilling in his death. The unleavened bread in the communion of the saints. The first fruit in Christ resurrected. This is over. Pentecost came 15 days later. And the Spirit of Christ descended. This is fulfilled. It's over. So now left 3 more feasts yet to be fulfilled. And this is the present age that we are living in now. The next feast that Israel will have, that Christ will fulfill for them, is when, look at this picture here, the blowing of the trumpets. There are 2 silver trumpets. 2 witnesses will come, and they will blow the silver trumpet. The word silver always represents God's word. Blowing the word of God. 2 witnesses will come, and they will testify. They will, preach to them. You get it? To call them back to the Word. Of course, now we know that they are already back in Israel. But they have to be called back to the Word. You understand that? There's one thing about coming back to the land of Israel. For example, we all come back to the Word, right? But you know one day, we're also going into Canaan land one day. We'll be there also as well. So when Jews come back to their land, they need to come back to the Word of God as well. The promised land, the promised Word. Then there will be a time of the atonement. And I believe that this time of the atonement is when the 2 witnesses will die, then we realize, you see, the truth about what God had done. To resurrect them out, they will see the whole thing. But the 2 witnesses will only see the 144,000. Right now. So that the children of Israel as a nation will come to the place of repentance. Then after that, you have the tabernacle. And this is, the tabernacle is the 7th. The millennium age of regeneration. The 1,000 years. And that's what we read right here. In verse 18. And if the family of Egypt, or verse 16, sorry. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go out from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. And to keep the feast of tabernacle. Tabernacle, this is a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a dwelling place. Okay? And it's symbolized by the dwelling in the booth. A little, all this hitch thing, this, like that. So, as to say, we rest from the heat, from our toil. That's what millennium is. Okay? Right. So, You know what? Christ is now tabernacled in me. Correct? I am tabernacled in the Word, in Him. The Word is become my tabernacle, my house, my booth. This is what it's about. Okay? But in the millennium, everybody will have the rest. But everybody must keep that peace. Alright? And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not come out of all the family of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King of hosts, Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not out to keep the feast of the tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that comes not out to keep the feast of the tabernacle. In that day shall be upon the bells of the houses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and sit there in, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. There shall be no kind of person, kind of people, that can ever come to worship the Lord. In that day people must come. If you refuse to come because you are rebellious, not because you are kind, there will be no rain for you. And wherever you live, now remember, the natural people still have to work. They have to work. They build a house, they will plant the land. You understand? Oh, he said, Barga, would it be like communistic world? You know, that sort of thing? No. If you don't work, you don't eat. You're not going to eat somebody else's food that they plant or that they grow. You understand? If they build a house, you cannot just go in and live. You see. And that's why if they are lazy, you'll be in trouble. Okay, can you next one with Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Micah. Micah chapter 4, 1 to 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of God shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. That's interesting. You see here that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. It's always like, because we know that Jerusalem is a mountain. There's a range of mountains in Jerusalem. Okay? And that's why Jerusalem city is built. It's on top of a mountain. But the temple will also be built on top of mountains. We'll look at that later on. Okay, just go on. And it shall be absorbed above the hills, and people shall flow. Absorbed above the hills, compare mountain to the hills. Mountain is higher than the hills. And the mountain of this city of God is to represent that he is the Lord, as the King of Kings, over all the other hills, over all the other nations. That's just a picturesque thing. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And they shall sit every man under his vines and under his thick tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts have spoken. You don't have to worry about being mocked. You don't need locks and keys to your house. I remember I heard a story about when the Japanese came to Singapore. People don't have to lock their door, you know. Because if anybody caught stealing, off comes their head. You heard a story about that? Yes. You know. So it won't be like this, then nobody will need to be afraid of anybody else. And of course, he says, he will take the sword and turn them into pruny hooks, and spears into, into plowshares, sword into plowshares, and the spear into pruny hooks. I mean to say that, of course, this is written in that time. They don't have guns. They don't have tanks. So he's talking about whatever weapon there is in this earth will be melted down and make and turned into useful farming tools. Okay? And I believe in that day when you go and see, you're not going to see any more weapons. There'll be no weapons. All weapons will be gone. Not even guns. No rifles. Isn't it wonderful? Not even sword. There's a speed limit. Now today in Singapore, you know, you're not supposed to bring in a sword, huh? If you have, you have to declare it, you know, things like that. You cannot bring in a samurai sword, they cannot bring in the guns. Right? In those days, you will not see any of this thing. Because after the Third World War, everything will be gone. After Armageddon, every of this thing will be gone. Right now. So we don't have to live in fear of a nuclear meltdown and stuff like that. We won't have another case of Fukushima thing, you know? Neither Chernobyl. See. Alright? Okay, with that, I'd like to go over to deal with a few things here. Go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 47. Now let us go back to the first chart again. The first chart. I want to show you just to let you see. Okay? Alright. Now, you may remember here we have when Jesus Christ comes back to fight in the battle of Armageddon, then he will sit on the throne, on his throne of glory, which is the throne of King David in Jerusalem. And then he will divide the nations of people, the sheep and the goat. The goat on his left hand will be cast, alright, into death, or be judged and put to death, and later on they are resurrected up here in the great white throne judgment. But the sheep will enter into the millennium. Alright, these are called the sheep nation of people. The word sheep is just used to say that because, you know, they are what they call show kindness to those of Christ's brethren, the Jews and the Christians. So they are allowed to go in to repopulate the earth. Now, I do not know. Look at the world today. When Christ come and fight and, you know, judge the whole nation, we have, how many billions do we have now? 7 or what? Is it 6 point something? 7 billion. Well, I don't know whether it's statistically true or not, 7 billion or... Alright, there's 7 billion people. When the war is fought, you know, I'm like, this war is fought. I don't know how many would die. Okay? I mean, this is a big war, you know. And the Antichrist go on a rampage, many will die too, right? So we do not know how many billions are left. Okay, let's say, assuming that there is 5 billions are left. Generally speaking. But when Christ comes to judge, would it be half of the whole world population remaining, like 2.5 billion going through the millennium? I don't know. Right? Do you know that there is a massive death? Now we know that when Christ comes to fight in the battle of Armageddon, it's Armageddon. Alright? It comes from the word Megiddo. Megiddon is from the word Megiddo. This is the valley here. Now, the Bible tells us that when he comes to fight, when this battle of Armageddon takes place, it will be in this whole valley that comes all the way down from here, all the way down. Now that's all. That's about 300 miles, I think. Now that's a very 300 miles, how many kilometers? You know, I had to convert it for you. You convert it on your own. Okay? Now that's very long. Now, the Bible said when the war is fought, after it is fought, there will be a lot of bloodshed. And the Bible described that the blood will flow in the valley up to the bridle of the horse. You know the horse, right? A full grown horse, not a little pony. A full grown horse is that when you stand and look at a horse, the The back of the heart is about, well, maybe up to my chin, huh? The back of the horse, where I'm going to sit. The horse is, the head is there. The bridle. You know, when you hold the horse, you can hold the horse head, the horse is here. So, here just meant about 6 feet. I would say about 6 feet. The blood will come up to about 6 feet high. Bodies will pile up. Birds will be eating. Buzzards with vultures. Crows will come. It will be out there. That's what the Bible says. It takes 7 months to get rid of the weapon and to bury the dead. Yeah. And even after millennium start, in this area, the Bible says if any person who is visiting there see a body lying there, to inform the authority so that they could bury it. You know. So just imagine the amount of death all the way far off. Huh? See that? Okay, so when you look at this map, you see, I always want you to remember this. Always Jerusalem is just east or west of the Dead Sea, the top of the Dead Sea. Huh? You always remember that. That's where Jerusalem is. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Alright? Ezekiel 47. Now, Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, has a lot to do with the future of Israel. Pertaining to the coming of the Lord, pertaining to the period when Christ ruled the world. Alright, so in chapter 47 and 48, the last two chapters of this book, there's all this detail about this period. Alright, so now let us look in chapter 47 and read verse 1 to 5. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Now, when you talk about the house, it's not a house. The house is a tabernacle. It happens to be the temple. Okay? The house of the Lord is the temple. Do you understand? So, what he's saying is that Ezekiel was brought by the angel to the eastern gate. Now, if you are looking at me from where you are, that is north there. Okay, that is south, that is west, and that is east. I'm facing east, you understand? Okay, so I'm facing east, so that's what he's describing. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate, northward, and led me about the way unto the outer gate by the way that they looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the angle. So now, he was brought to the eastern gate, looking face forward. Then the man who had the line measured 1,000 cubits. Okay, then he stepped into it, and the Bible said, he said, the water was to his ankle. So, the water, there is a water flow. Remember, go back to the map again. So, in case you forget, remember when Christ comes to fight, when his feet touches Mount Sinai, Mount Olive, what happened? There's an earthquake. The earthquake was strike eastward, westward. Okay, so Mount Sinai was moved.
Olive.
One part north, Mount Olive, sorry. Half moved northward, half moved southward. Okay, they create a valley for water to come in from the Great Sea. Now, we do not know, at least we cannot picture how big the movement is, you know, the separation, you know, the crack will be. We do not know. How the landscape will change, we do not know. Do you understand that? Okay? But that's what Ezekiel said when he stand there in that temple. And the angel measured 1,000 cubits, and he walked, and there was water to his ankle, up his ankle. Then again he said, in verse 4, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The waters went to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, he brought me through, and the water was put to the loin. Afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were rise. Water to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Okay? Now, I will show you the chart later on this, but I want you to just imagine that there is a temple in this place. Okay? And there is water gushing from under this temple going eastward. You understand? Okay? Now let us read the next few verses. And he said unto me, Son of man, thou hast seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, as at the bank of the river were many, many trees. Were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said unto me, this water issue out toward the east country. Remember, the water going eastward, huh? And go down into the desert. That's where the desert is. And go into the sea. That's the Dead Sea. Remember. Which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. So water going in that direction, from underground, the fresh water fountain, going to the Dead Sea, will make the Dead Sea no longer dead. Now, for you to imagine, just to let you know a little information. The Dead Sea is the sea that is the lowest of all seas below sea level. Think about it. Okay. This is Jerusalem on top of the hill. Going down eastward, that's Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is 1,300 feet. The surface of the sea, when you are standing at the Dead Sea, is below sea level, 1,300 feet below sea level. So when you are standing on the surface, on the edge of the river or of the Dead Sea, do you know that the water of the sea is actually above your head, 1,300 feet, which is something 400 meters around there, 400 meters. Just imagine, the water, if that is the ocean, you are 400 meters deep standing on the surface. And the deepest of this Dead Sea, okay, is 2,300 feet deep. The deepest part, which is 700, or less than 700 meters. And do you know what Sunny has been saying? You know, it's very hard for them even to go down. Because when they jump in, they float. And it's impossible for you to swim in the Dead Sea. Because it's so saturated with salt, that all the salt, you know what, it's just impossible for the water there to dissolve any more salt. And the salt water, the water in the Dead Sea is 10 times the amount of salt in the sea. So it's actually saturated. That's why you go to the Dead Sea, on the side of the Dead Sea is all salt crystals. They just evaporated on, and then you get all the salt lying on the side. You jump in, you had a hard time. You bought this. You know, you ever dive in the water, you don't just pop yourself, right? You dive in. Now, if you ever fall into the water like this, it's real hard. But try to fall into that on the Dead Sea. It's even harder. Because practically, it's so saturated. You can't sink. You can just lie there and put your leg up in the air and read the book. Literally. Okay? And nothing lives there except a few kind of bacteria that could survive in salt, huh? That's about it. So when that water comes in from the underground and from the ocean out there to bring in the fish, they push all the salt to one side and the water will be healed. And the Bible said on both sides of the bank of the river, this side, that side, a lot of trees, many, many trees. What are these many trees for? For the healing of the nations. Right? You know that there are many trees that have contained leaf and bark and fruit. It's good for your health. Huh? For the healing of the nation, it doesn't mean that they are sick people. No, it's for the health of the people. You get it? So, eat more leaves and stop eating wagyu beef. Alright? And stop eating pork and adobo and whatever. Eating healthy food. Just continue with that. And it says here in verse 9, it shall come to pass that everything that live which move wherever the water rivers shall come shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because These waters shall come hither, for they shall be healed, and everything that live there with the river come. Where does the water come from that goes into the Dead Sea? Where did the Dead Sea get its water? It comes from the River Jordan. You know what I mean? It comes from the River Jordan. You see? And the deep, and the scientists said that the depth of the old, of this sea is, it's getting deeper by 15 inch, 20 to 30 cm every year. It's part of the rift very thing, you know. It gets so deep. Alright? And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eniglam, which there shall be a place to spread for nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding great. But the very places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side, on that side, shall grow every tree, all tree, for meat, for food, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruits according to its month, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border wherewith you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. Now here is a listing of how the land of Israel will be divided. Now, before we talk about the dividing of the land, I mean just for your eyes only. So a picture speaks more than 10,000 words. Ain't it nice to have a baby with this snake coming around? Huh? Today when your mother or father see a child sitting out there and then a snake coming by, oh, your body scream. Ain't it? Okay, next. A wolf. A wolf with a lamb. That's food for the wolf, but not in that day. They will not. They're the wolf. Look at the lamb, or probably lick the lamb. You know what I mean? Just a dog will lick you, or a cat will lick you. And then nice. You don't have to worry about running away from wild animals. Today, even today, a lot of people are still afraid of dogs. Are you still afraid of dogs, Nancy? Come on. Who's afraid of dogs? You are still afraid of dogs. Oh my. In that day, there will be the big cat that you will play with. Huh? The big cat. The title that you will play with. Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? Just imagine that day. I just cannot fathom that day. But I know it will be. Because the promise of God's word. I know it will be because we have experienced the reality of His word. We know the word is true because God has shown us many times of the promises and the fulfillment of scripture. The prophecy doesn't lie. Okay? What happened already in prophecy concerning Christ has been fulfilled. And we are still looking forward to the other part of the fulfillment. Okay, next. Oh, wonderful. Now here we have this licking on the kid. Isn't that nice? Wonderful. It's not going to eat up the child, right? That's an apple. That's a lion with a lamb. Sure, king of the beast. Alright, next. Now this is a good drawing. Just imagine the beauty of that day, when the earth is turned into a paradise. Huh? You can see all the lions, and panda, and whatever. Oh my. Wouldn't it be wonderful? When you don't have, I won't be living in an apartment anymore. When you get out of the house, you see another block. Oh my. Huh? Especially Singapore, saturated. Not for Sister Bree out there, there are big countries out there. You know, the only problem they have out there is tornado and whatever, storm. Here, you don't have to worry so much about that. What we worry about is accidents on the road with too many cars now. Huh? And all these blocks and running, all the piling and the renovating and so on. You just make the whole island so polluted. But look at this. I'm looking forward to that day. Don't you? Next. Here, now, this is talking about the dividing of the land of Israel. Now, once you look at this, how it will be divided. The north, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Judah. And this is a portion where it is called the holy portion. Alright? And then you have Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, and Gad. Now, this is the boundary. I don't agree that this is the right boundary. I believe the reason why many interpret that this boundary will be here on the west bank of Jordan and nothing over this side for Israel, which I don't think is true. Do you remember that God promised Abraham that whatever your feet touches is yours, belong to your descendant? Okay? So now, here if you look at this, they draw it from this side, even here. But the Bible said, from the Nile River, all the way to Euphrates. So let us look at the next one. So this is what I believe it looks something like that. Okay? Here we have the river now, Egypt. This river now, right? Do you remember that the Egypt, that why is it included here? Why is it included here? Because why? They were in Goshen. Do you remember? They were mixed land. They were in Goshen, and Goshen is right here, east of the river now. So that's why they put their foot there, they put their feet there already. It must belong to them. I don't care. Huh? So it's on east, well, all the way to the river Euphrates up here. Okay? Alright, next. This is what I believe. Something like that. River now is here, westward over this part. Why including east of the river Jordan? Let us look at the boundary of King Solomon's what we call a kingdom. Look next. This is Solomon's kingdom. Do you remember? When they took the land, this is why they were also divided according to when they crossed into the inner land. Alright? This is also their land. They cross over River Jordan, but these three tribes claim this part. And even Solomon even included all this area of Ammon and Moab and Edom. So I believe that all belongs to them. You cannot just because the Bible talk. Okay, next chart that we see. Here, this is the chart here. Now you see this square here? Alright. This little lake here is the Sea of Galilee. And here is the Dead Sea, which is just covered up by this. This is the place where it is. The temple will be, the city will be, and this portion here, it's called the holy portion. It belongs to the priests. It belongs to Christ. Okay? So, I believe that it doesn't stop at this river, this west, what they call it, River Jordan, and doesn't extend here. I believe it extended over the east as well. Okay, because they really early on in chapter 47, remember the angel mentioned 1,000 cubit, 4,000 cubit comes right to the sea, and they said they thought you're gonna stop there. Now he's not gonna stop there. He's talking about the river flow towards there. That's all. Okay, so you read chapter 47. It's about the divide. So you see how it is divided. Okay, now go to 48. 48. Here we have verse 1 onward. Now these are the names of the tribe from the north and to the coast of the south where of Hidon. And it goes all the way down. You can see verse 2, Dan, Asher, verse 3, Naphtali, and so on. Got it? All the way down. And then we see here in verse 23. He said, as for the rest of the tribe from the east side unto the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. Benjamin, Simeon, go right down, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad. Right. And in verse 29, this is the land which shall be divided by lot unto the tribe of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, said the Lord God. And these are the going out of the city on the north side, 4,000, 5,000, and 500 measure, and the gates of the city shall be after the name of the tribe of Israel, three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi, and so on. That's just very quickly. Next chapter. This is what it will be. There will be the name. Now here you can see that this is the city. Okay? For you to give an understanding, let us go back to the next one, previous one. Now, remember this is a holy portion. Jerusalem is a spot right here. Okay? Alright? And, okay, right here. I would say, just next to this Dead Sea. But this will be the area that you see, okay, in this. This is Makkah. Now, it is 50 miles by 50 miles. 80 kilometers by 80 kilometers. That's big, huh? Isn't it? So now, the city of Jerusalem will be here. What Jerusalem is. But the temple is moved up here. Now, the city of Jerusalem is 10 miles by 10 miles. Huh? 10 miles square. Is that what they say, 10 miles square? But the plan, the hemisphere altogether will be, not 10 miles square. It's 100 square miles. Today, Jerusalem is only 48, or less than 50 square miles. And when I was told that there is a difference between square mile and mile square. Yes, there is a difference. If I'm not mistaken, when it's just a square, it's called mile square. Square mile is could be any shape, but it's the volume. I'm sure of that. Okay, now that is 100 altogether, 100 square mile. But the temple is north, and the size of the temple is 1 square mile. 1 mile by 1 mile. That's a big temple. You just imagine. Okay. And this is how it will look like the area here. And this is the area for the priests, this is the area for the Levites. You know what the Levites? Huh? Yeah, the Levites. They are the tribe of Levi. Okay? They're called Levites. But the priests are from the Levi also, but they are from the son of Zadok. And they live in this area. And they minister to the, they'll minister because the temple is here. Alright? The temple is here, so they have lived in this area. This is the city district for grain crops and whatever cultivation. And this portion on both sides belongs to the prince. Yeah. So this is how the land will be divided in those days. It's big, huh? It's big. What Israel is today? What happened to Israel? No, look in the land of Israel. It's only about, maybe I would say 5%. 5% of the total land mass of what they're supposed to get. Why? In the first place, when God gave it to them, they divide to this one, divide to that one. Even when they went back, after the 48, they still divide. Because they want peace, they divide. And that's why God is upset with them. That's my land! I give it to you! Who give you the permission to divide and give to others? That's the thing about it. That's why the Bible says, do not cast pearl before swine. People who doesn't want to believe in the truth, they don't want to see the truth, they spit on it, what do you want to give them? That's true, you know that? So don't waste our time, because the gospel is not for everybody. That's for sure. Is that right? Okay. That's all there is to it right here, okay? Let's go to Isaiah, close with Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, sorry. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the day, in the last day, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now you read in various places here, there is still always talking about this temple. Do you know why this temple? Because God said, I have put my name there in Jerusalem. Israel is my land. Huh? Israel is my land. Jerusalem is my city. Do you understand? The place where I have put my name there for Israel. But why did God put his name for us? It's here. God has put his name here. It's a word of peace, as Jerusalem is a city of peace. But yet, Jerusalem has never been a city of peace. It's always been a city of war. Got it? So the same thing with this Bible. There's never been a book of peace, there's always been a book of war. Devil fight over it, people fight over it, kill each other, right? You know that to be true. But God has to come back, and Christ has to come back and take over. You see, men are just so filled with wickedness, and carnality, that's why they They wanted to be somebody. Satan made use of them. Alright, let's continue reading verse 2. And many people shall go and say, come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuild many people. And they shall beat the stone in the plowshares, and their spear in pruning hooks. Nation shall lift up no more swords against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So that is the day we are looking at. Okay, go back to the first chart. Let's look at the first chart. Jerusalem. We know, and I said this, that God is dealing with everyone in this period of the millennium. Okay? There will be a period when Christ starts ruling, as in this, and the Bible says in the regeneration, or this period of regeneration, the sheep that goes in are people whom God allowed them to go in to republic, to live in this beautiful period of time, for 1,000 years. So if a man goes in today, into the millennium age of 50 years old, or if I go in, if I'm allowed to go in as a Christian, I'm 65, if I go in, and by the time I live until the end of it, I'm 1,065 years old. Older than Matusola. Okay, so you understand that you are going in. But you know, the people that go into this period, they are still having that original sin, the nature, the inherent nature of doing, committing sin. So Christ has to dehybrid them. You understand? Dehybrid them. To dehybrid now, because you know we are okay, Christians are born in, huh? Isn't that right? And when we are born again, God has given us this spirit of Christ and His word. Okay? And of course His blood took care of our original sin. But the word of God continually cleanses us. That's why we are being cleansed. Removing all that old kind of nature. That's why Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And you can only renew your mind if you allow God to come in with His word. You cannot say, I don't need the word, I don't go to church, I don't need fellowship, and then you have nothing. You will never be able to have that word cleanse you. So that is called, we call dehybridizing. Dehybridizing of sheep nation of people through the 1,000 years of regeneration by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us read these two verses and then we still have time. Okay, just read these two verses. Okay, and that is Psalms 119 verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9. Wherefore, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God, thy word, O Lord. Okay? And the next one, of course, is John 15:3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. It says here, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, you understand these two verses? That is how the nations of people, when they enter in, look, they are dealing with a lot of sin, their carnal nature. So as the word of God is meted out at the beginning, as life goes on, years after year, 100, 200, because of the word that is given them, more word are given them, they are their nature, their sinful nature will have to decline. You understand? Huh? Will be dehybrided. They are cleansed. So that's why at the end of this, even though they are cleansed, they still need to be tested. Right? Because during this period of 1,000 years, Satan is bound up. All fallen angels, all evil demons, all demons are locked up, chained up. They cannot operate. So there is no tempters to tempt them. No deception. Got it? So that's why after 1,000 years, now they need to be tested. Okay? We'll go to that next week, but I want you to close with one more verse. And that one verse is Zechariah chapter 48, verse 35. Zechariah chapter 48, verse 35. Now this word what we have is the English translation. Ezekiel. Beg your pardon. Say one thing about my one mind, one way. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. The last verse of the book. Now, I like it the way it ends, the way Ezekiel ended his writing with this. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. But this is English translation, no good. We should put the Hebrew as it is. Yahweh Shema. Yeah, or Jehovah Shema. The Lord is here. But he said the Lord is there because he's pointing to, right? Jehovah Shema. He is there in Jerusalem. Finally, as Christ tabernacled, alright, in Jerusalem, he is tabernacled in a holy new Jerusalem that is yet to come in reality. But now it is in the making. As it is even now, God, Christ is working it out to go back to Israel and get the people of Israel together. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for grace again. Thank you for your word of life. Asking, Lord, you take the word and further break it down to the hearts, Father. In times, Father, Lord, as one would study thy word, you break it down piece by piece, O Father. A little here, a little there. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your truth in Jesus' name. Amen.